This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatillil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim mabad. Al-yawm 19 min shahri Jumad al-akhirah 1445 al-muwafiq li واحد من شهر يناير جانوري 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في الليين. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped. Rahman, أين كنا؟ السابعة. So up to date, until now, Ibn al-Qayyim is talking about the mafasid التي تترتب على العشق. قال السابع أنه ربما أفسر الحواس أو ضعفها إما إفسادا معنويا أو صوريا. وأما الفساد المعنوي فهو تابع لفساد القلب. فإن القلب إذا فسد فسدت العين والأذن واللسان فيرى القبيح حسنا منه ومن معشوقه كما في المسند حبك الشيء يعمي ويسم فهو يعمي عين القلب عن رؤية مساوئ المحبوب وعيوبه فلا ترى العين ذلك ويسم أذنه عن الإصغاء إلى العذل فيه فلا تسمع الأذن ذلك والرغبات تستر العيوب الراغب في الشيء لا يرى عيوبه حتى إذا زالت رغبته فيه أبصر عيوبه فشدة الرغبة غشاوة على العين تمنع من رؤية الشيء على ما هو عليه كما قيل هويتك إذا عيني عليها غشاوة فلما انجلت قطعت نفسي ألومها. So Ibn al-Qayyim says point number 7, this al-ishq, strong love in the wrong way, ربما أفسر الحواس أو ضعفها, and sometimes it destroys the hawas, the limbs, or it makes it weak. Imma ifsadan ma'nawiyan aw suriyan. Either is going to make it corrupt spiritually or aw suriyan, shaklan. Any physical or spiritual. As for the fasad al ma'nawi, fahuwa tabi'u li fasad al qalb. You know, the limbs of a person, they will be corrupt because the heart is gone. This kind of love is affecting the heart. So when the heart is gone, then the other part of the body is going to be following. Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ إِذَا فَسَدْ فَسَدَتِ الْعَيْنُ وَالْأُذُنُ وَالْلِسَانِ. Because when the heart is gone, the eyes and the ears and the tongue are going to be gone also. So if the eyes and the ears and the tongue are gone because of the corruption that exists in the heart, so what happens is that this person, since he doesn't have a mizan that is correct, so ru'yatuhu takunu ala khayri al-waqi', and whatever he is going to see is going to be different from the reality. Yeah? He would not be realistic in whatever he is seeing or observing. That's why he is going to see what is bad, what is evil, what is negative, as positive, as good in the mashuq. Whatever that person is going to do to him is going to be right. And why is that? Because the heart is gone. So the evil that is going to come from the mashuq is going to be good to him. His eyes will see good, will not see bad. You get it? And his ears will hear good. Yeah, we hear evil, but he will see good, he will hear what do you call good also. كما ورد في الحديث وهو ضعيف حبك الشيء يعمي ويسم. Your love to something makes you blind and deaf at the same time. It means it covers the heart, which will affect the rest of the limbs, so you will not be able to hear the truth. Ibn Qayyim says, فهو يعمي عين القلب الرؤية مساوي المحبوب وعيوبه فلا ترى العين ذلك ويسم أذنه عن الإصغاء إلى العاذل فيه. So it will make your eyes blind. You will not see the deficiency that Mahbub has. And also it will make your ears blocked. In the way you will not agree to hear any blame, you know, that is coming, blame that is coming from others towards the mashuq. Yeah, you will not agree. And they said, وَرَغَبَاتُ تَسْتُرُ الْعُيُوبَ. And usually desire covers the deficiency. If a person has strong desire, it covers the deficiency that exists in that thing which you are having strong love to. فالراغب في الشيء لا يرى عيوبه حتى إذا زالت رغبته فيه أبصر عيوبه. The one who loves something so much usually doesn't see the deficiency that thing has until the time the deficiency, love is gone. Then the person will start seeing things in the way they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. So when is he going to wake up? Ibn Qayyim says, until the time that raghaba is gone, then he'll be able to see every aib that exists in that mashruq. You get it? Like the poet says, هَوَيْتُكَ إِذْ عَيْنِي عَلَيْهَا غِشَاوَةٌ فَلَمَّنْ جَلَتْ قَطَّعْتُ نَفْسِي أَلُومُهَا. He says, I love you so much, I have strong desire towards you, and I don't accept and tolerate anything. I always incline to you. I listen to nothing except that which comes from your side. And he says, but when this ghishawa, this raghaba and the desire, strong desire in the heart was gone from my heart, قَطَّعْتُ نَفْسِي أَلُمُهَا. And he says, I just go back to myself, blaming myself. Why did I fall into this trap at the first place? قال والداخل في الشيء لا يرى عيوبه والخارج منه الذي لم يدخل فيه لا يرى عيوبه ولا يرى عيوبه إلا من دخل فيه ثم خرج منه. He says usually the person who is outside doesn't see the deficiency that much, and the person who is inside and he doesn't go out yet, as long as the love is there, he also doesn't see that much. So who is that person that will be able to see the reality about that thing which is loved? He said, the person who goes inside and also goes out. He knows. He sees what is inside and he sees what is outside, then he will be able to make a comparison and tell you whether it is good for you to join or not. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ الَّذِينَ دَخَلُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بَعَدَ الْكُفْرِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ وُلِدُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. So that's why you see the companions who went inside Islam, they accepted Islam after being kuffar, they are better than those who did not experience kufr. Yeah? Their companions, Umar used to say that the person will not understand Islam correctly that much, you know, if he did not experience the jahiliyyah. When you know the jahiliyyah time and you come to Islam, then you understand how excellent and valuable is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال عمر بن الخطاب إنما تنقض عرى الإسلام عروة عروة إذا ولد في الإسلام من لم يعرف الجاهلية. He says Islam is going to be destroyed rope or brick by brick. Through who? Through those who are born in Islam, you know, and they do not experience the jahiliyyah. Get the idea? So that's why Ibn Qayyim says these type of things, unfortunately, the best person who understands the mafasid and the negative consequences of ishq is somebody who was involved in the ishq and get out of it first. Then he can tell you how bad is the situation. قَالَ وَأَمَّا فَسَادُ الْحَوَاسِ ظَاهِرًا فإنه يمرض البدن وينهكه. This is the al-fasad al-ma'nawi, you know, the spiritual one. This is the one that we just discussed. As for the fasad al-zahir, he says, فإنه يمرض البدن وينهكه. It makes the body weak, yeah, and exhausted also at the same time. وربما أدى إلى تلفه. And sometimes a person might lose his life because of this. كما هو المعروف في أخبار من قتلهم العشق. So this is well known in the stories of those people who were killed by the عشق. Literally, they died because of this. وقد رفع إلى ابن عباس وهو بعرفة شاب قد انحل حتى عاد جلدا على عظم. أعوذ بالله. He says they reported to Abdullah ibn Abbas during the Arafah. You know, this is Hajj. You know, in Arafah, Arafah is the best day in Ayyam al-Hajj. They brought a person to Abdullah ibn Abbas. قد انحل. You know, حتى أصبح جلدا على عظم. You know, he became so skinny. In the way you see nothing except skin and covering the bone. Subhanallah. It's like he doesn't have flesh on him. فقال ما شأن هذا. They brought him for Hajj. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, what's wrong with him? What happened? قالوا به العشق. So they said he has عشق with him. They said he has عشق with him. What makes him like that? The عشق, that strong evil love that takes a person away from doing the right thing. You guys call it crush. That is another person that translates ishq with another word.
Obsession.
Huh?
Obsession?
No, that's another one. Infatuation. Infatuation. That looks fancier, but so infatuation. Yeah, we have been looking for appropriate words, so I was asking somebody, this infatuation, does it fit ishq? Yeah, because since you have love, maratib, so you have to look for the correct word. Then you'll be able to distribute these words according to their levels. Yeah. Anyway, so this person was gone, you know. أصبح جلداً على عظم. Nothing left in him except just skin and bone. So he asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, what's wrong with him? قالوا به العشق. They said he is affected by عشق. فجعل ابن عباس يستعيذ بالله من العشق عامة يومه. Abdullah ibn Abbas, from that time, and he came to the Arafah with his need, you know. But then he stopped everything and started asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from عشق until the end of the day. The whole Arafah is, ya Allahumma, Allahumma asimni min al-ishq. Allahumma asimni min al-ishq. So basically what Ibn Qayyim is trying to tell us here is that ishq contributed to the fasad of the limbs and the heart. And once this happens, then every single part of the body is going to be affected. الثامن أن العشق كما تقدم هو الإفراط في المحبة. العشق, the one that we're talking about, is going beyond the limit in love. بحيث يستولي المعشوق على قلب العاشق. In the way the ma'shuq yastawli ala qalbi al-'ashiq, will be dominating the heart of the 'ashiq. Ma'shuq will be dominating the heart of the 'ashiq. Hatta la yakhlu min takhayyulihi wa dhikrihi wal fikri fihi bi haythu la yaghib an khatirihi wa dhihnihi fa inna dhalika yashtaghilu an-nafs tashtaghilu an-nafs an istikhdami al-quwa al-haywaniyya wan-nafs wan-nafsaniyya فتتعطل تلك القوى فيحدث تعطيل من الآفات فيحدث بتعطيلها من الآفات على البدن والروح ما يعز دواؤه ويتعذر فتتغير أفعاله وصفاته ومقاصده ويختل جميع ذلك فتعجز البشر عن صلاحه. So Ibn Qayyim says point number 8 is that عشق, the one that we describe as al-ifrat fi al-muhabba, fi al-hub, you know, going beyond the limit in love. In the way that love dominated the heart of the person who is observing that love. In the way he doesn't think about anything except that one. He doesn't see anything except him or her. And there is no time which the thing يغيب عن خاطره وذهنه. So if this is the case, then حواسه, all of his limbs are going to be busy. Busy from what? From using or from doing the right thing, you know. Because these hawas, these limbs, Allah created them for doing the right thing. If the brain is busy thinking about something, you're going to be busy from doing the right thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, or something that is beneficial to you. Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَيَحْدُثُ بِتَعْطِيلِهَا مِنَ الْآفَاتِ. So if the limbs are mu'attala, mu'attala means neglected. You don't use them in the way they should be used. So what happens is, amarad, sickness. Because the body, if you don't use it, if you remember last time they said that is haraka al-qasriya, right? The one that says the body leaves, it happens because the body, some part of the body leaves its position where it's supposed to be. Then it has to come back to that. Yeah, because the function that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it for is not that one. So it has to come back. Well, but it must come back to that. So there is a purpose for the creation of every part of human body. If you don't use it for that, you're going to destroy that part of the body. And this is really good for us to understand, especially when dealing with our brain. Yeah, we're not using our brain. Get it? Not in the sense the Arab says mafi mukh, not like that, you know. We're not using our brain. Because the brain capacity is far greater than what we're doing nowadays. Unfortunately, yeah. Depend so much on these guys. MP3s, MP4, 5, and some other things also that you don't even know what they are. Yeah. But that's very wrong, very wrong. It's ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is supposed to be used secondarily. You have to use your brain. The more you use it, the more active and the more strong the brain will be. That's why some of our scholars in Medina was informing us that this is the nature of the brain. That's why the closest person to the city, the closer you are to the city, the weaker your brain is. Because you have papers, you have things to write on. And the closer you are to the village, to the badia, the stronger your brain is. That's why those people in the village, they memorize everything. Yeah, because they don't have any other way and methods to keep what they learn except this. That's why everyone in the city, they know everyone. They know his house, they know what he does, what happened, when, and what exactly was happening. They know all of the events. And it's easy to tell him something to memorize it very quickly. They mentioned that a woman will bring her child and recite 100 bayt shi'ri, and she will ask the child to repeat it, and he will do. Abdullah ibn Abbas, subhanAllah, somebody came and he narrated the shi'r. The whole diwan of that person, he narrated his shi'r. It was a very long shi'r. Somebody told Abdullah ibn Abbas, this is safaha. This is stupidity. Abdullah ibn Abbas told him, I don't see it as stupidity. He said, do you even try to remember this? He said, I memorize everything, he said. And that's the first time he mentioned it. He said, I memorize. فَأَنْشَدَهُ ibn Abbas. And he repeated the whole thing for him. Yeah. What kind of brain is this? But it is like ours, but with some, big difference of seriousness. They use it, we don't use it. Yeah, that's why we become the way we are. Don't you ever think that somebody is smart and you're not? No, that's true. I'm sorry, that's wrong. That's against the truth. The truth is that we're all smart. Yeah, but we don't use the smartness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ability to do, but we don't do. Yeah, so the brain became weak. أذكر أحد مشايخنا. He says there was a sheikh that was in Medina. He was narrating the story to us. He said there was a sheikh who went for Hajj. You know, in those days they spend, subhanAllah, long periods of time to go for Hajj. From his place, they need 6 months to go and come back. 6 months. If a person left, you're expecting him to be back after half of a year. So the student gave him money to buy Qamus al-Muhit for them. Qamus al-Muhit, you know Qamus al-Muhit, right? It's a dictionary, Arabic dictionary, very famous dictionary, Qamus al-Muhit. They gave him money when he reached Makkah, please to get dictionary for them. So they went, he went, and subhanAllah, during the Hajj, his money finished. And nothing left except student money. فَانْكَبَّ عَلَيْهَا. He used the student money and survived. What did he do before he left Makkah? He went to the library. He sat down there and memorized Qamus al-Muhit. When he went back, the student came to him, "Ya Sheikh, why is the Qamus?" He says, "How to aqlamakum." So he dictated Qamus, he told him, right. He dictated Qamus al-Muhit from A to Z to them. He told them, "I'm very sorry. I couldn't have something to survive. I lost all of my money, so I used yours. And that's why I just have no choice except to memorize Qamus al-Muhit for you guys. Sorry, accept my apology." Is his brain is like ours? Ila al-Mahkama. Then the case will be resolved by the court, by the judge, you know. Anyway, so please try. I'm saying this actually intentionally, addressing people that are here, intentionally, right? Because I see some from time to time, whenever we say what happened in the past, nobody is reacting. Yeah, our brain is stronger than the brain of the predecessors, right? Salaf al-Saleh, rahimahumullah, right? They should learn from us how to keep things. Anyway, try your best. Whatever you learn, revise it before you sleep. Yeah, go and revise and do whatever you can do, unless you keep that which you are told in the class. So Ibn al-Qayyim says that the limbs, if you don't use them, you know, they will become mu'attala. And they will get destroyed. If you don't use them, they will get destroyed. So if that ta'athir happens, you know, it will affect the limbs. قَالَ فَيَحْدُثُ بِتَعْطِيلِهَا مِنَ الْعَفَاتِ عَلَى الْبَدَنِ وَالْرُوحِ مَا يَعَزُّ دَوَاءُهُ وَيَتَعَذَّرُ. He says they are going to be in trouble. They are going to be destroyed. The destruction that would not be easy for somebody to fix it. It will not be easy for somebody to fix it. And when this happens, then your actions are going to be in the wrong way. They're going to be different. You know, af'aluhu wa sifatuhu wa maqasiduhu, your thinking will be different. You know, everything is going to be affected. قَالَ فَتَعَجَزُ الْبَشَرُ عَنْ صَلَاحِهِ. All of the human beings are going to be not going to be able to fix that which you're destroying. So basically, Ibn al-Qayyim is trying to tell us that if a person has this disease, what happens is it is going to cause a person to neglect, you know, the limbs from using them in that which is beneficial to him. يقول الشاعر الحب أول ما يكون لجاجة تأتي به وتسوقه الأقدار حتى إذا خاض الفتى لجج الهوى جاءت أمور لا تطاق كبار. He says this type of ashq and the hub, the first thing that happens when it appears is dhunun, shukuk, speculations, you know, thinking. He says it just comes and goes, it comes and goes, it comes and goes. That's the beginning, you know. If a person is lucky and he stayed away from it, alhamdulillah, it will be gone. However, if he doesn't listen to the advice and keep on going deeper, قَالْ حَتَّى إِذَا خَاضَ الْفَتَى لُجَجَ الْهَوَىٰ. You know, those whispers and those, you know, thoughts that comes which are none other than following the desire, جَاءَتْ أُمُورٌ لَا تُطَاقُ كِبَارُ. They're going to result in bigger matters which nobody can help him in that regard. Bigger matters which nobody can help him in that regard. قال والعشق مبادئه سهلة حلوة وأوسطه هم وشغل قلب وسقم وآخره عطب وقتل إن لم تتداركه عناية من الله كما قيل في ذلك وعش خاليا فالحب أوله عناء وأوسطه سقم وآخره قتل. سبحان الله. He says العشق, the first part of عشق is what? It's interesting, you know. Yeah, when a person first met that ma'shuq, yeah, interesting, always wanting to meet them, you know. Very special moment, you know. They think, sometimes you go, you have to touch them. For you to bring their consciousness, you will see a person just sitting down there, thinking. He doesn't know even what is going on in his brain, you know. You have to go and pinch him a bit first to bring back his consciousness. Yeah. And it affects you, Allah. I prayed next to somebody. He made a mistake. After we finished the prayer, he was asking me, which prayer is this? And he was the Imam. Either he was the Imam or I'm the Imam, I forgot. But he was asking me, which prayer is this? So because I know he was about to marry, I told him, لَعَلَّكَ ذَهَبْتَ إِلَى هُنَاكَ. Ya Allah, he told me yes. It was a very, very character, you know. And subhanAllah, this is a very good student of knowledge who wrote even, he has a book, you know, that he wrote by himself. Very good student of knowledge in hadith. Graduated from the Kulliyat al-Hadith in Madinat al-Munawwara. Yeah, but that's what happens, you know, when a person, you know, too much think about something. It ends in this way. And subhanAllah, at the end of the day, that thing that they're looking for, they couldn't get it. Yawallah. It's all of these things that we know about that. But they couldn't get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ. The link is gone, I guess. Is it? Okay. Okay. We left Jeddah, went to Dubai. Let's see what happens. So that's it. That's why a person should be very moderate in whatever he loves. There is a wisdom narrated as a hadith, but that hadith has a lot of questions on it. So we take it as a wisdom. If it is hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, a wisdom from Rasulullah. If it is not, then just a normal wisdom. He says, أحبب حبيبك هون ما عسى أن يكون بغيضك يوما ما وابغض بغيضك هون ما عسى أن يكون حبيبك يوما ما. Yeah, be moderate in your love and be moderate in your hatred. Yeah, I heard one of our scholars narrating a very painful story of one of our great scholars. Subhanallah, what saved him was his enemy. Muslim, but really they hate each other. But he went into a complication in life, which there was nothing left except that one. And his student told him, we have no choice except to talk to Fulan. Yeah, and they went and they talked to him. He said, no worries. And he stepped in. And that was what saved him from death, which is confirmed, you know. Subhanallah. So you can see the reflection of this hadith or the wisdom, right? Be moderate. That's why for the parent and for people in general, not just parent or husband and wife, you know, take this wisdom from somebody who says, لا يكون حبك كلفا, right? ولا بغضك تلفا. Be moderate. And sometimes I force myself to love him. That's very wrong. Yeah, that's very wrong. He's going to trace that from your face. And you're just forcing yourself to accept. Akhi, there are other people. Just live a normal life with him and go with others, you know. وَلَيَكُنْ بُغُضُكَ تَلَفَى. There are some people when they hate, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. That person is in trouble when they hate him. وَلَيَكُنْ بُغُضُكَ تَلَفَى. So be moderate in your love. Yeah, to anyone on earth. Okay, so the first part of ishq is something that is interesting, nice, you know, good. You see the girl getting lost and the boy also is lost. None of them is within his consciousness. وَأُسَطُهُ هَمٌ وَشُغْلٌ. And the middle part of it is what? Ham, worry. You Allah. وَشُغْلُ قَلْبٍ وَسُقْمٌ. And sickness. And also the heart is going to be busy all the time with it. Allah is punishment. The heart, when you attach your heart to somebody other than Allah, you will be punished. You will be punished a lot. You will never relax in this dunya. The only one that you attach your heart to him and relax is Rabbul Alameen. Allah, take this from me. That's the only one that you connect your heart to him and you relax in this dunya. You'll be away from worries and hum and everything. It's Rabbul Alameen. وآخره عطب وقتل. And the last part of it is destruction and death. Subhanallah. Except if the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meets that person. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not support and help him and protect him, he's going to be in trouble. وَإِشْخَالِيًا فَالْحُبُّ أَوَّلُهُ عَنَاءً وَأَوْسَطُهُ سُقْمًا وَأَخِرُهُ قَتْلُ. He says, relieve yourself from all of these fake loves. And honestly speaking, they are fake. Yeah. The real love is love that is based on doing. Responsible love, we call it. Yeah, responsible love. Yeah, that's why all of those ones, most of the one, the love that you see between Zawjain, I don't care about before the Zawaj. Before the Zawaj, these are all, I don't know how to call them. I don't have any description to them. Except Dalal. Dalal. And Khidr. Ishq has something to put in there, but Dalal. Yeah. But I'm talking about the one inside the marriage, you know, between people. You know, too much shallow love, you know. Words, sayings, you know. How he dress, how she dress, how she talk. And these are all about love. He doesn't say this, he doesn't say. Whereas the real love is responsible love. Not just talking, but action is more. Yeah. So somebody was right when he says, they always talk about, he doesn't like me, he doesn't love, she doesn't love. But if you ask them, why do you say this? Yeah, it's all about he doesn't say or he doesn't do. But what is my responsibility? Do I do mine first for me to ask for my wajib, my rights? No. What is my responsibility? Do I do it? If I don't do it naturally, that person will react also in the same way. So we have to be very careful and be realistic. And this is what remains. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his love. Subhanallah. You don't hear how many times it was narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told his wife, I love you. Not a single one. But he tells people when they ask him, and I don't know, at least I don't see, I can't remember a single one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us that he tells his wife that he loves her. But we believe that, yes, between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family is strong love. Right? But it's always based on what? Action. You see the relationship between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his wife is based on action. That's the real love. That's why it maintains. Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, you can just release yourself from him and go and look for a better life in terms of the dunya if you want. None of them was willing to even choose somebody else, no matter how much rich that person is. Aisha radiallahu anha was the first to be asked by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told her what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in kuntuna turidina Allah wa rasulahu, in kuntuna turidina al-hayata dunya wa zinataha fata'alayna. You know, and he says, Aisha, due to the younger age, he said, don't decide before you contact your parent. And subhanAllah, she said, she got annoyed actually. When he told her this, she said, Ya Rasulullah, to stay with you, I need to talk to my parent. What is this? It's like, what do you think about me, Ya Rasulullah? You know? None of them was thinking of going out of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is that? Not just because he is a prophet, but he gave them the best example of a husband and the way love should be conducted. Subhanallah. So, قَالَ وَإِشْخَالِيًا فَالْحُبُّ أَوَّلُهُ عَنَا. The first part of the hub is ana. You know, that's love is there, but somebody is going to suffer a lot. وَأُسَّتُهُ سُقْمٌ. And the middle part of it is sickness. وَأَخِرُهُ قَتْلُ. And at the end of the day, a person might lose his life because of عشق. وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ تَوَلَّهَا أو تولع in some narration بالعشق حتى عشق فلما استقل به لم يطق رأى لجة ظنها موجة فلما تمكن منه غرق. سبحان الله. Is a person let's keep on calling upon, you know, boasting about love and حتى عشق, until he has the عشق, looking for it, struggling to get it until the time he get it. But as soon as it get to be established in his heart, you know, he realized that this is a mountain that he cannot handle to carry. He realized that this is something that he cannot carry. رَأَى لُجَّةً ظَنَّهَا مَوْجَةً. You know, he saw lujjatan dhannaha mawja, you know, small river, small place where he can go. And he thinks that this is just a simple wave that he can handle. فَلَمَّا تَمَكَّنَ مِنْهَا غَرِقْ. When he get inside, he realized that no, this is not an easy place for him to swim. So this is ishq. Ishq, the first place a person will see it, something that is very simple, but unfortunately, right after he get inside, he realize that this is something that he cannot handle. قَالَ وَالذَّنْبُ لَهُ وَالْجَانِي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ وَقَدْ قَعَدَ تَحْتَ الْمَثَلِ السَّائِرِ يَدَاكَ أَوْ كَتَاكَ وَفُوكَ نَفَخْ يَدَاكَ أَوْ كَتَا وَفُوكَ نَفَخْ. This is a mathal, they said, قوم, they are trying to cross the river, and so they couldn't find a ship or the boat to use. So they have the qirab, you know, qirba, right? The thing they put the water inside. And so each and every one of them decided, why can't we just, since the qirba usually it has a small hole, right? So they blow it, they put air inside, and they tie it properly, right? So they went on top of the what do you call it? That qirba, the one that al-manfukha. So they managed to cross, except the last one. The last one, he thinks he has the capacity to swim. So he said, I don't need to blow that much. So he blew a bit, and he did not tie it correctly. Yeah, he blew and did not also tie it correctly. So he went inside the river, and subhanAllah, the wind kept on going slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually, and he couldn't swim with his hand. And he get lost. So before he dies, he was looking for help. So the people tell him, "Yadaka awkata wafuka nafakh." Yani awkata al-ika. Your hands as the one that is tying the thing. Why didn't they tie it correctly so that the air will not come out of it? Wafuka nafakh. And your mouth is the one who is putting the air. All of us, we did it correctly and we tied it correctly. Why did you trust yourself that you can make it without having the support? So Ibn al-Qayyim says, whoever find himself in this, he will go back with this. And wallahu alayh, you know, and he is the one who is committing the jinayah against himself. Nobody to be blamed except himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa afiyah. So basically Ibn al-Qayyim wants us to understand how dangerous is this disease and to stay away from it. And as I said, there is no good in ishq, you Allah. This ishq, there is no good in it. Yeah. A person should open his eyes and see things in the way they are. And ishq in everything, not just human being, in everything. Yeah. Nothing remains in the way he is, right? Yeah. Usually, you rarely see, people who live together and they still see each other in the way they met them. You know, some of us, right after the marriage, you Allah, in the first day, some of us, in the first day, mashakil start to happen. You Allah, the first day he met his wife, mashakil start to happen, either from him or from her. Why mashakil did not happen before? Why now they are happening? Yeah, because they were not realistic in their love before, right? And now they see the reality, which they were supposed to see it before the marriage, but they don't. Yeah. So be very careful, be very careful. Be moderate in whatever you are doing, and you want to love, have a responsible love. Yeah, not the wrong one. In a way, a person will regret and nobody to be blamed except him. So this is the end of this chapter, and I guess we reached already 7. So let's see if there is any question to be addressed. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If we, for example, we perform the process before marrying someone, we do it the right way, the Islamic, the authentic Islamic way, wherein we don't talk before marrying, we don't get to know before marrying, we directly go to the wali. You know, something like that, the authentic Islamic way. Will that help our marriage to have less mashakil?
Bismillah, as long as you did the search correctly. Yeah. As long as you did the search correctly, meaning I want to check about this person, I do it correctly. I don't involve him in the search. I don't involve somebody that I have doubt in the search. I talk to a third person, somebody who doesn't have interest here or there, somebody who will tell me the truth about this person, somebody who will not cheat me, will not cheat him. Yeah, will tell me the truth. These are the people that you have to contact and ask them about that person. As long as this one is correctly done, and they told you good, or whatever they told you about that person, and you go and do the correct way. Go to the parent and ask them. Go to the wali and talk to them. Before you start talking to this person, you can only talk to that person if you don't have any wali to talk to before. For instance, somebody doesn't have awliya. How to reach them? Yeah, you can talk to them directly in the right way. You get it? If they don't have any wali. But if they have wali, this is his right. So as long as you do that, بِإِذْنِ الْوَاحِدِ الْأَحَدِ, your marriage will be a success. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said your marriage will be a success. Yeah. But what I believe in, people are not doing the correct search. Yeah, we are not doing the correct search. We just do shallow, and we do it with the intention of seeing good only. No, you have to be having the empty mind, you know, ready to receive anything, and ready also to accept and to analyze what is being told to you. And then you judge based on that and make a decision. Inshallah, you will not regret, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. If you regret, I will not say your istikhara is wrong or it is not accepted. No. This is just a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test you. And also He wants you to go through that process. Yeah. Which some of us went into the process, and when they come out of it, subhanAllah, they become an expert, consultant in marriage. Yeah. It's an experience that you cannot buy with money. Yeah. And I don't take it waste of money. As long as you do the right thing, I don't take it waste of money. That is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to learn. And that message can only be taught to you through that marriage. So it went and it was cut up. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married that woman and he divorced her in day one. Day one, he divorced her. Does it mean that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do the right thing? No. Absolutely the right thing. But that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed things to be done. So it might happen as a test for a person, you know, to learn something. You get the idea? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
لابد أن نحذر من العلاقة قبل الزواج.
لابد.
ولو كان أقل.
لو كانت أقل. There is no علاقة قبل الزواج أقل. There is no relationship between a girl and the boy before the marriage. There is no أقل. There is no minimum. Is all bad. Trust me, it's all bad. Some of them end in zina. Iwallah. Some of them end in zina, committing zina. We know that these things are taking place in our community. Some of them end in some things which are not reaching the zina, but almost. Yeah. And that's the least, that's the strongest one. The least you can get concerning having a relationship with somebody before marriage is that the prestige and the shyness that the girl has is going to be taken away. That's why it's not easy for him to have a control in that family in the future. Because that respect which he needs to have from his wife, and she needs that respect also from him, both of them don't have. Otherwise, tell me, sometimes before the marriage they fought each other so many times. They argue, they fight, you know. They even bring somebody in the middle to fix what is going on between them, and they are not married to each other. Tasawwur hada, they have all of these useless things taking place. And then they expect themselves to enjoy marriage after they do it. To enjoy that relationship after the marriage, no, it will not come. Yeah, that's why many, they complain that why they don't enjoy marriage, you know, in the way they used to enjoy the relationship before the marriage. Good idea. So there's no good in it. The best and the wajib is a person to detach himself from that person who he wants to marry. He doesn't need to hear anything from her, rather than her agreement to marry him or not. That's it. I know I might be what you call saying something which doesn't go to the ears. It goes here in this time of ours, because we said we need to know how does she think. Yeah, that's what they said. I'm just paraphrasing them. We need to know how does she think. And she also says she needs to know how does he think, you know. Does that benefit? They all know how they think, you know. And when they go to the marriage, the reality comes. That thinking doesn't work. That knowledge doesn't work. So that's why Sharia says you look, you check the deen and the manners. The next one is to look and see whether you'll be comfortable with him or her, you know. She will be comfortable with him or he will be comfortable with her. That's it. Going to talk, tell me, where did you ever see in Sharia that you have to sit with them and discuss the matters? Yeah, what do you want in the future? Yeah, what kind of house do you want? What kind of food do you like to eat? You know, do you like to work? Do you not like to? And they went and talked about things which are not supposed to be discussed. And some of them destroy the life of their marriage before it even happened. What is your opinion on polygyny? The man is asking. I can understand if the woman is asking, because I know the trend is like this, but he is asking. What is your opinion? I don't like it. And then he calls, Ustaz, you know, the one that I want to marry, she says she doesn't like polygyny. Should I go or not? Yahi, why do you ask for the first place, you know? And maybe that person, trust me, he is not intending to go for this throughout his life. But why do you ask? That's why, if you remember my word, I always advise Shabab, when you go for Ru'a Shira'iyah to meet the family, don't talk. People don't want to accept this, except in a few moments, but don't talk. Just be an interviewee. Just there, hanging around, sitting down. How are you? Fine. Just fine. Well, I am okay because I, alhamdulillah, have a good sleep. I have a good... Okay, nobody ask about this. Yes, how are you? I am fine. Just say fine. Do you go to school? Yes, alhamdulillah. Don't tell them which school because they don't ask about that. Which university are you going? Well, I'm in UIA, alhamdulillah. They don't ask about the faculty. Don't tell. You will lie. This is the best way I see it to be done. That to ask, answer questions according to the questions, right? Get it? So what they don't ask, don't answer. And give them according to what you have been asked. That's smartness. Otherwise, trust me, in most instances what is happening, you go and talk beyond what you are asked, and then you open the door for the parent to ask you more questions, you know, and the girl also will have doubt on things which are not necessary, actually. They're not necessary. They're not key in a marital life at all. They're not. Anyway, so this is what I believe Sharia asks you to focus on, three things. Deen, khuluq, and to go and see that person whether you will agree or not. I believe nobody will understand his wife until he stays with her. You cannot convince me that you will ever understand who your wife is before you stay with her. And nobody can convince me that she will understand who the husband is before she stays with him. These are all jokes. Yeah. Those who marry can tell you this. Yeah. So that's why I just focus on what Allah SWT asks you to focus on. Marry a good person. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will not see except good. Come and plan your life. Yeah, all of those unnecessary talks that are going to happen, you know, before the marriage will reduce the, what do you call it? The shyness and the respect in your marriage. Yeah. So there's no conversation, no jalan-jalan, no, what else? Yeah, no, whatever, you know, except marriage. You know. I heard about the marriage in a week. Well, till now I still praise that marriage. Just 1 week. Just propose, check and see. He already checked, most probably, and he understand that he wants it. Went to the parent. This is my intention. Are you ready for that? Yes. Yalla, let's go. Okay, 1 week, and the marriage finished. And you have our brother. Our brother, not necessarily some one of us, but somebody there. 10 years, he has been thinking of a marriage. He said he is looking for a marriage, but 10 years he has been thinking of a marriage. He has been in relationship with that sister 10 years. And he is asking another person, he couldn't understand why until now this marriage doesn't want to work. 10 years? What are you doing, you know? Anyway. Allah grant us good. So please, we listen to this for those of you who did not graduate yet. graduation, not from the university, but from the Azuba. Yeah. Please think wisely. Yeah? Don't take this matter lightly. Take it very seriously. You are going to stay with the future of your life. Yeah? That's how it is. The future of your life. If you don't listen, you will cry. Write this. That this miskin Ibrahim says, if you don't listen, you will cry. Either literally or spiritually. Allah protect you from crying. Yes, Khidr.
How does a brother find families or find sisters who have the same understanding that he has? For example, with this regard. Because maybe it's one-sided.
He shouldn't find the same understanding. Yeah, he should look for a good person because sometimes his understanding might not be correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should look for somebody who is upon a good manhaj, that's religion, and also good manners. Yeah. As long as it's good, the manners is good. We don't want her to be like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't want her to be like him. Because if his manhaj is correct, her manhaj is correct, they are alike. Although the difference is a bit will happen, but it will not affect the marriage at all. Allah says, Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun. And subhanAllah, I benefited from our Sheikh Atiyah Mahmoud Salim, the student of Sheikh Al-Amin Shanqiti. He was translating this ayah for us. He said, Libas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your wife is Libas, is your cloth. And you're also acting like Libas for her. He says, there is a latifa here, that you shouldn't get somebody who is above. Above you, that's the kafa'a.
Yes.
Because in the libas, when you go and buy, you will not buy maqas. If your maqas is your size is 100, you're not going to look for 150.
Yeah.
And you will not ask for 80.
Yeah.
You always look at the one that fits you. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to here? Is it like she has to think exactly like you? No, not at all. Because it's not even good for us to become like this. That means I'm going to be wrong. And I don't have a person at home to correct me. Because she's also thinking in the way I'm thinking. I don't need that one. I need a person who has the correct manhaj. If I tilt, I'm going in the wrong way, she will tell me this is wrong. Because if she thinks like me, she's going to also watch and push me up. And there are some people who are doing like this. Their wives push them up to do it because it brings benefit, dunya benefit to them. You get it? But generally in the religion, she practices the religion and he practices. But for sure, the way he prays and the way she prays might be different. Because there are things which he does, she doesn't do. He sit for istirah, she doesn't sit for istirah. He stand up like this, she doesn't stand up like this. But both prayers are okay. What we need is she prays 5 times a day and he prays 5 times a day. Do you get the idea? And he tries to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely in his prayers and she is doing also the same thing. Do you get the idea? There are things which you believe to be practiced by Rasulullah, but she doesn't believe that this. And she has evidence, you have evidence. So you're both in the same page, the same manhaj, because you're all trying to source from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there are some differences among them. We need this to exist. Yeah, that's why sometimes they say, Ya Allah, differentiate between them in thinking. Somebody was shouting when one of the scholars asked for him this. He says, why do you ask? He said, yeah, we need this to happen, because if she thinks like you exactly, there would not be correction in your life. She'll be doing something wrong, you will tell her, go ahead, enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing something wrong, she will tell you also. Yeah.
As-salamu alaykum, Shaykh.
Can you explain the hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, people are like mines of silver and gold. The best of them in the time of Jahiliyyah are the best of them in Islam.
That's true. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask him, who is the best amongst the people? He says Yusuf, Nabiullah ibn Khalilullah. There is nobody in this regard that is better than Yusuf alayhi salam. He was a prophet, son of a prophet, Yaqub alayhi salam, son of a prophet, Ishaq alayhi salam, son of Khalilullah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nobody has this lineage. So when they ask who is the best, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought that they are asking about the lineage. He says Yusuf alayhi salam. They said, Laysa an hadha nas'aluka ya Rasulullah. We're not asking you about this. So he says, فَخَيْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاهُمْ. The best is the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. They said, Laysa an hadha nas'aluka ya Rasulullah. He says, فَأَمَّ عَادٍ الْعَرَبِي تَسْأَلُونَ. قال خيارهم في الجاهلية فخيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا. You're asking among the best amongst the Arab. He said the best are those people who are the best in the Jahiliyyah, but then they accepted Islam and educated themselves. Islam maintained that status for them, that respect. That's why you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respect As'ad ibn Zurara, Sa'ad ibn Abi, Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh, you know, and yeah, Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, you know, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respect them so much. Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh, Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, As'ad ibn Zurara, he respect them so much, much more than other normal, people in Medina. Because they were the leaders in Medina, and they accepted Islam, and also they were righteous in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is applicable to any race and any nation. The leaders in a community, if they accept Islam and they fix their attitudes and their behavior and they educate themselves, that they have education, they don't remain ignorant. Islam maintained that status for them. But that's with us in this dunya. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it always based on the taqwa. You're righteous, you're the best in the eyes of Allah. Your leadership, your position in the community doesn't work with Allah. You know. Any last word? Did we even take a single question from the... They will say this is unfair. These people, they came physically and they took the time for the questions.
Sheikh, there is a question from a sister. Is it okay for a wife and children to show disrespect to a father who has not executed his responsibilities?
No. She will be sinning when she shows disrespect. She will be sinning. And the children also will be sinning. Yeah, because he is responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their job is to fix him. When a child disobeyed a parent, you know, as long as the parent is not asking him to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the child is commanded by the parent to go against Allah, the child is not supposed to disrespect the parent. They are supposed to say no, but not disrespect him. Yeah, they will be sinning. So their job is to advise him and to be patient in the advice, both the wife and the children. She shouldn't provoke the kids to go against the father, yeah, because they don't understand what she understands. And they might grow up in that way, even after he become righteous, that disrespect might remain in their heart. Yeah.
The next question, Sheikh. How do we advise someone who doesn't believe in magic, but his wife severely affected with it? He asked the wife to just get help from a therapist.
We keep advising him. There are some entities who don't agree with that. You know, he is the nasus of the Sharia. Yeah, the Sunnah says that it was even done with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about it. This is Quran saying that yes, it can happen. What else he has? You know? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about it. It wasn't coincidence, you know. So we should remind him with the nusus of the Sharia. Yeah. And then advise the wife to use the right thing. If he doesn't want any raqi, yes, I can support him in that also. But he has to do the ruqya he himself at home. Right? Yeah, I can support because I don't trust going to the raqi that much these days. Yeah, do the ruqya yourself. What is he doing? The raqi himself. What is he doing? Reading Quran. Why can't you read Quran? You also. How do you know that this person is muttaqi? Yeah. I remember a person was doing the ruqya. Subhanallah. The shaitan was talking in the tongue of that person. He told him, you don't fear Allah. We found it so strange. He told him, you don't fear Allah. If you fear Allah, by now, long ago, I left this place. Yeah, we don't trust shaitan, but that was so embarrassing, you know. If it is a husband or a family member, nobody knows about this, but since he's a third party coming, it would be very embarrassing. And many of these people are shayateen. Yawallah, shayateen, shayateen. And as our sheikh said, as shaitan la yaturud shaitan. Raqi is shaitan, and he's chasing away shaitan. How? How does that happen? Yeah, shaitan cannot take away shaitan.
The next question, Sheikh. If a person is afflicted with sihr,
is very weak and started hearing voices to kill herself. Can someone help her to read Ruqyah online?
Yes, somebody can help to do that. I prefer if somebody can sit with this one, they need to calm down. Because trust me, these type of things, many of them are not sihr. A psychological problem. They just need somebody to cool them down. Good words, somebody to be with them for a while. The most important thing is to manage to convince them that they're okay and they shouldn't pay attention to anything. Yeah, there are some people, if you see them, you will say, "Uqsimu billah," they're possessed by the jinn. But trust me, there is no jinn. Nothing of this regard. No jinn, no anything. Yeah. So, first they need somebody to be with them for a while to cool them down. You get it? And then the ruqyah can take place, inshallah.
Even if it's online?
Even if it is online, if there is nobody to do it physically from there. No, I think it's just something that affects the brain. Yeah, I don't think it's jinn at all. Many of these issues, they are not the jinn-related issues. It's just thoughts that accumulate in the brain of a person and he start believing in them. So they cause this reaction, yeah, which you just need somebody who is smart to inform this person about that which benefits him. Yeah.
Online, he has a page where he takes videos because he has this illness, and then he would take a video to see if the person behind him, like, is an actual person or is it something from his mind, like hallucination. So is this maybe this?
How I couldn't get.
Okay, let's say he has a feeling. He sees someone walking behind him.
So he sees someone walking behind him, and he would take out his phone.
No, I will advise, honestly speaking, Khidr, yeah. I will advise him not to do.
Yeah.
Just ignore. Uh-huh. He perceived that something is coming behind, right?
Yeah.
Just ignore.
Yeah.
If it is too much, just read Quran and just ignore. Pretend that he doesn't know anything. Uh-huh. And that person, if that is such a person, somebody should advise him to intensify his dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially at Qawl Sabah wal Masa.
Yeah.
Pray Fajr, pray Isha on time.
Yeah.
And also make wudu all the time. Even like Ta'ala. If it is something that is coming, it will go away. It will go away from him. But he shouldn't pay attention to it.
Exactly.
You know. You done with the questions here?
There are a bit more.
How many questions are there? Yusuf, I can address him even after.
Two more.
Okay, let's finish with that.
The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh. Ahsanallahu alaykum fi dunya wa akhirah.
Wa alaykum.
Jizya is collected from Halim and not from Halima. So by right, a Muslim country should collect jizya from brothers only and not for sisters?
We talked about this last time, right? That jizya is only for the brothers, right?
The last question. We shouldn't shake hands with Ahlul Ma'asi. Does this mean all kinds of ma'asi? Is there any way that we could give excuse to shake hands?
I don't
hands?
Know. Where is it mentioned that we shouldn't shake hands with the Ahlul Ma'asi? I don't know that. Sinners. The time the person is committing sin, yes. You don't say salam to him. You don't go and shake his hand. But he's not committing sin. Just normal person walking and you know he's a Muslim. We can shake hands. I can shake hands of a kafir. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But to say that we don't shake hand with the hand of Ahl al-Ma'asi, I don't know where this exists. But during the time they're committing the ma'asiyah, yes. No salam, no shaking hand.
Even for the reason of softening their heart?
No, the softening their heart when they finish. Usually when you advise them during the commission of the sin, they don't listen. You get it? Unless if you're going to invite them separately first in a place and sit with them and discuss the matter with them. Yeah. Talking to him when he was committing the sin, he might react very negatively against you. Yes, Yusuf, you said the last question.
Continuing from the brother's question about the person that has psychological problems, how do we help someone who has wiswas qahri in tahara? Like, it reached to the point that he cannot make wudu. He stands there for like, I don't know, until
if you're
the
with
imam.
These people, if you're with them, just tell him, let's go and make wudu. He make wudu after he finish. What do you think? Usually he might tell you, no, everything is fine now because you're there. Tell him, this is how it is when I'm not here. It's always like this. So do not pay attention to the shaitan and just go and pray. Your prayer is okay. Your prayer is okay. Listening will put you into trouble. You know, that's my method. Being with him, if possible, this is good. And he's going to tell you, I have doubt, maybe I didn't watch this and that. Tell him, no, that's shaitan lying to you. I saw you do it. You did. And always, your wudu is like this. Your prayer is like that. Don't pay attention to it. Yeah, that's the only way to advise him through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ignore. That's why ignorance is one of the best medicine, you know, to cure psychological problem and waswas. Ignorance means to just ignore what your brain is telling you. Assume that there is nothing. Yeah. Sometimes some people, as they said, they spend 4 hours in the bathroom, or more than that. He comes and pray. He cannot pray. Just start and then go and make wudu again. Yeah. So tell him the first one is fine. Yeah, because Islamically, even if it is not fine, it's fine. Because his sahib was was, and he doesn't know. That will be forgiven. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be even like Azza wa Jalla. You know. Otherwise, he will become majnoon. Majnoon, literally majnoon.
Yeah. But najasa, like sometimes, like, you know, it's like the whole package. Najasa, tahara, the salah as well, the
takbir. All of them. He just leave, ignore and just go.
But he will say like, this place.
No, tell him, just keep your saying. Tell him Islam is simple. Are you better than Umar radiallahu anhu? Tell you no. Umar, when somebody was asking, Ya Sahibul Mizab, what this water that is coming from up, what is that? Umar tell him, please don't tell him. This is ghulu, this is exaggeration. Yeah, we're supposed to base our judgment on what we see or what we know. You know, 100% it happens and you judge based on that. If you're not sure, you just leave it. You know. Tell him just to. And after you finish, any doubt that comes, you throw it away. The scholar said, "Ash-shakku ba'da al-fi'l la yu'athiru, wa hakadha idha ash-shukuku takthuru." Shak after you finish whatever you're doing doesn't affect your act of worship. May Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.